Hello, and welcome to the live Printing Impressions webinar, Sheet Fed UV Offset Printing, Finding the Right Cure for Success, which is sponsored by Trelleborg. My name is Mark Michelson. I'm Editor-in-Chief of Printing Impressions and the host of today's event. Many commercial and packaged printers are struggling to differentiate themselves in a crowded marketplace. Today's webinar will feature three printing company executives who have successfully embraced UV printing technologies to provide more added value to their product offerings. But before we introduce our panel, let me go over a few technology pointers. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions during and at the end of the hour, so you can send them at any time. Please make sure you turn off pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all the widgets and bells and whistles on this console. And speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all the widgets on this console do and how you can customize your experience today. The format that we have set up for today's webinar is that each of our three speakers will provide kind of an opening remarks that will describe their operations and will tell a little bit about themselves and the type of products they're produced, a little bit about their equipment mix, and then we're going to kind of move to kind of a free-flowing Q&A format. I'm honored to have three printers with us today. We have Warren Werbert, who's the founder of Pizzazz in Montreal, Scott Gorman, who's Vice President of Manufacturing at Premier Press in Portland, Oregon, and Mike Tsai, who's President of K1 Packaging Group in City of Industry, California. So let's get started, and Warren, why don't you lead off and tell us more about Pizzazz and a little bit about yourself.
Sure. First of all, thank you for having me, and welcome to everybody who's taken time out of their day to sit and listen to us. I started Pizzazz Printing back in 1992, just a small little shop doing letterhead envelope back in those days. And fast forward 20 years, which makes me feel a little old, we've evolved into a multi-service facet printing operation. We're providing everything from digital printing to flexo, conventional and digital, sheet-fed offset, 40-inch, 56-inch, 56-inch is the UV press. We've got an iGen 4 and a large format division digital with flatbeds, roll-to-roll, and all those other things. We are about a 100-employee shop. Our annual revenue is about $50 million, and the idea behind having all those services in one place in the market today is when you get the client walking in the door, you want to keep the client in the door. And most companies do a whole lot of other printing than just one, one area of print. So, for instance, customers going to a trade show, we could handle their direct mail to invite people. We could do their show booth signage, and we could print all their material for the show. And that works has been working pretty well. We've gotten into UV business primarily to be different from our competition. In our local market, we were one of the first printers to get involved with UV printing. And the real reason is when we were moving and we needed a new 40-inch press, after looking around, seeing the competition, seeing the pricing on the market, we decided that there's no way that we were going to step right into that with a brand new machine for $3 million. When people are running paid-off equipment for $150 an hour. The real benefit with the UV for us has been that we've been able to print multiple of substrates. So we're printing paper, board, plastics, synthetic papers. We're printing F-flute. On our KBA, we go from 60-pound or 120M paper to 48-point. With that, we have pretty much very limited competition in the substrate market. In the substrate market, you get the price that you want per hour. At the end of the day, printing or anything else, it's still about business, and business 101 is profit. In our industry, the idea is you need to make profit if you're going to stay in the industry, as everything is getting more expensive and more technologically advanced. In terms of how we got there, I will answer that with some of the questions that come up in the future. So I thank you for the time to do the introduction, and I look forward to any questions afterwards.
Okay. And Warren, you say that your UV press is a 56-inch six-color KVA.
Yes, it is.
Is what you're running UV work on. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Scott, what can you tell us about Premier Press and about yourself?
Thanks. I appreciate the opportunity to share with these folks. So a little bit about Premier Press. So we're a family-owned business that was established in 1974. We currently are running right about 115 employees and right about $20 million in sales. We do have two locations. Our main manufacturing, we're really close together, but our main plant has about 40,000 square feet. And then about 3 miles from here, we have a 75,000 square foot warehouse where we do full mailing services. We actually have a trade finishing bindery that we own that still operates to the trade, mainly die cutting and gluing, and then pick and pack and kit building out of there. Most of our clients are from the Northwest. We do have some regional work outside of the area. But as I said, so we are a full commercial printer, so currently offsets running about 55% of our revenue. Our offset work, we are a Komori house, so we have one 8-color, 40-inch, 4x4 perfector with a single coater. We acquired that machine a little over 2 years ago. We were a little concerned about getting into perfecting. We had an older 28-inch perfector many years ago, back in the early 90s, and there were some inherent issues with perfecting that we just didn't like. So early on into the process, we decided with perfecting, we're only going to use UV inks. So in that decision, we decided to put solid impression jackets on the second half of the press, so there was no challenges with A-side, B-side differences, and then also went with traditional slowdown wheels in the delivery, so there's no sheet speed sacrifice due to the narrow slowdown wheels. So along with our 6- or 8-color press, we have a 6-color Komori coater press, also retrofitted for UV, and then in the offset, we also have a PressTech 52DI and then a Ryobi Twin Tower. On the digital side, we run two HP 7500 Indigos, and digital's running about 35% of our revenue. And then we do also have wide format services, both rigid and roll-to-roll, and that's running about 10% of our revenue. So our product mix, so we everything from stationary to, you know, oversized point-of-purchase materials, very similar to what Warren was talking about. You know, we want to be that one-stop shop. We want to, you know, we've got the horsepower and pre-press, and we've got the, you know, the know-how, so we want to be that to all of our customers. We do a lot of catalog work. The Perfector has been great for us with that. It's been a really good fit. Like most commercial printers, we deal both with, you know, design agencies and direct with clients. Regarding the product mix we're doing with UV, so we do quite a bit of strike-through gloss dull. We do, you know, UV ink on uncoated substrates is unbelievable, you know, the holdout you get from that. In fact, we run some of our catalog work. We run at 340 Sublima line screen on uncoated substrates with really good success. Run a fair amount of synthetic substrates. Print on clear stocks, wrong reading, 4-color process, dry that and do a double hit opaque white on top of it, you know, those kind of things that without UV, you know, trying to do something like that with convention ink would just be a disaster. We're currently running about 98% UV on our presses, so the reason I haven't gone 100% UV is really just strictly for cost. So if I get a very long catalog or a long run that was, you know, just 4-color and aqueous, say, I'll still take the time and spend the money to switch over to run conventional ink on those just from an ink cost savings, you know, for several hundred thousand sheets. But pretty much, you know, our average run length is around 6,500, so pretty much we're staying in UV all day, every day, instead of going back and forth. So just a little bit of background about myself. So I kind of grew up in the industry. I started taking, you know, graphic communication classes as a freshman in high school. So my first job was at an in-house print shop for the Irvine School District in 1985, and then I worked in a few smaller shops here in the Northwest. I've been at Premier for 21 years. Background was press. I started as a press operator, then from there to press manager to kind of evolve to my current position as the VP of manufacturing. So just a real quick, a little bit of why did we get into UV? So we decided in mid-2000 that we were going to take on the UV beast, you know, little naive, I think, at first. But originally, we thought that our main work was going to be mainly doing, you know, gloss coating. We were sending a fair amount out for just flood UV, figured we'd do some spot work, and then some synthetic substrates. Well, as we all probably remember, the economic challenges of back in 2001 really hindered our efforts because we had quite a bit of extra cost built into UV going back and forth. You know, back in the early 2000s, materials were nowhere near as good as they are now. We really had some real long changeovers going back and forth. Happy to say that's typically not an issue anymore with the materials and with some good processes in place. In 2003, we replaced an over six color. And at the time, we never thought we would need to have a second UV press, so we decided to just, you know, not put UV on that machine. And 2.5 years later, we regretted that decision and retrofitted that press with UV as well. So like I said before, now we're running about 98% UV, and I'm very confident that had we not made that decision back in 2001, that, you know, we would have hindered our business greatly. With that, that's kind of what, you know, the story of Premier Press.
Okay, great, Scott. One question that came in, and you may have mentioned this, but one of our listeners asked, how many employees do you have at Premier?
I'm sorry. So we have about 115 employees between our two locations.
Great. Okay. Well, we've heard the introduction from two guys more on the commercial side. Mike, as president of K1 Packaging Group in California, what can you tell us about your firm and yourself?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thanks to all the audience for joining us today. Mike Tai with K1 Packaging Group. K1 Packaging Group is as our name suggests, we're strictly a packaging printing operation. We focus on primarily folding cartons on our lithographic sheet fed side. And on our flexographic and digital printing side, we produce pressure-sensitive labels as well as some flexible packaging. K1 Packaging Group was started in 1993, interestingly enough, the origin of K1 Packaging resembles that of Pizzazz, because we also started as a very small stationary printer. We printed letterheads and envelopes, business cards, you know, using one-color and two-color AB Dick presses. So that was in 1993, and around 1996 or 1997, that's when the Internet revolution started to make its presence felt. And at that time, the founder of the company had the vision sense the threat that the Internet revolution would bring about to the printing industry. So basically, a very bold and ambitious decision was made at that time to completely bypass the commercial market and go straight into packaging. So we made a very dramatic transition from a duplicator type of operation into a packaging operation within the span of, 5 years. Now, during those 5 years, you know, we obviously went through a tremendous amount of struggle, and we had our shares of major train wrecks, you know, production screw ups. But in hindsight, you know, we're very glad that we made a decision like that. Currently, K1 Packaging Group employs 95 full-time employees, and our projected revenue for 2013 is around $35 million. Our sheet-fed lineup consists of a pair of KBA Rapida 105s. So these are 40-inch format printing presses, one of which is fully UV. We run UV 100% of the time. That's a six-color. And then the five-color Rapida is conventional ink 100% of the time. And as I said before, we do flexographic printing as well. Our flexographic operation is fully UV. On our folding carton side, I would say the UV ink really comes into play when we produce on specialty substrate. Although specialty substrate is, you know, I wouldn't consider that a garden variety job for us, you know, even though we do run it on a regular basis. But the fact is, when we operate our UV press, most of the time we're just printing on conventional paper, and we don't even bother changing back to conventional ink, even though we're just printing on regular paper, simply because of the productivity gain and the convenience of having a UV system. So if anybody is interested in wondering why we still have a conventional press, well, I can tell you the only reason is that, you know, we're thinking, you know, if we were to replace this press in the very near future, it'll be UV equipped, so there's really no point in retrofitting it at this moment. But, you know, despite the fact that most of the substrate we work with is just regular paper, I would still prefer to print with UV ink just because of the convenience and the production gain.
Okay.
Great. I think that's a good time for me to stop.
Okay. Well, you guys really, you know, all three of you guys touched on sort of why your companies got into the UV offset space. Is there anything ever you wanted to add to that before we kind of move on to some other questions? In terms of what drove your businesses to go UV?
Well, like I said, for Premier, you know, we were sending out a fair amount of just having worked on offline UV. So we, you know, the intention obviously was to bring that in house. We surely couldn't justify the change just on that volume because there wasn't that much, but more with the mindset of, you know, growing future work and offering other services for us.
Mm-hmm. As you guys recall in some of the early days, you know, what challenges did initially present for your press operators and other people in your press room in terms of making that transition from conventional to UV?
I'll go first. I'll say the biggest change required in the pressmen is a major paradigm shift of how they think. Pressmen in particular could be rather stubborn in the way they work or what they think or what they know. And the guys working in the press room have to have an open mind, have to be prepared to take a step back and listen and learn new things. If you don't have those type of people, your challenges are just going to climb through the roof.
Yeah, I'd like to second that, what Warren's saying about that. Without an open mind and a mindset of continuously learning, you're really going to struggle. And I think, you know, I'd like to add along those same lines. I think what I've found to be key is to really rely on your vendors. I mean, there's a lot of resources out there with inks and fountain solutions and equipment that I think most printers, I think we're good problem solvers and we like to just fix things ourselves, but I'm really have found that relying on our vendors to really dial in the right materials has made a world of difference for us.
I think I can contribute a few remarks as well. Speaking of vendors, I recall when we first got involved with UV printing back in 2005. I would say the supply side of the UV printing industry was not very mature, despite the fact that UV printing had already existed for a long time. But compared to today, the products, you know, the press room suppliers that, and the inks, rollers, that was available back then, they were, we found very difficult to use, very unstable, produce very inconsistent result. Today, we feel, you know, that's all in the past. You know, as press room consumables continues to become more user-friendly.
You know, when we got into UV printing in our market, as I said, we were one of the first. And when we looked around at our suppliers, most of them were not really familiar to the extent that some other suppliers were in other areas of the country, being Canada, the U.S. I had one of the bigger benefits to me was I had went for the first time to the Print UV conference in March, which is put on by Air Motion Systems, and there were 200 people, 150 printing companies, 35 suppliers. And the amount of talking that went on there and the openness of people within the industry doing UV just gave me certain knowledge that I would not otherwise been able to obtain as quickly. The biggest benefit that I had from that conference was I went out and actually hired a print UV consultant who's been in the world of UV for about 20 years, had him come up to my place for 5 weeks. And what we did in those 5 weeks put us 10 months ahead and probably saved us $100,000 of, you know, wasted money, aggravation, and mistakes. There are so many things to learn. We're 6 years into it, and we are still learning every day different things.
Warren, you mentioned about the need for press operators to be open-minded. One of the listeners was asking, what are some of those challenges that the pressmen need to be open-minded about?
Well, for starters, it's a whole new concept. So, the inks that you're using, the lamps. Our press happens to have interchangeable lamps that we could put on all the different units for interdeck drying. It's the time it takes to learn the settings of the lamps. The placement of the lamps, chemicals that you're using on press or the solutions that you're using on press, the speeds at which you can run, what you can get away with, but the advantages that you have. When you're running offset paper with UV, you know, your limited minimal dot gain comes off the press. It's really able to dry. Everything and everything that you could think of when you walk into a press room now. You can get higher speeds on the press. I remember someone once telling me that it's really the pressman who controls the press room because, you know, to call it a little bit of job security, they never run as fast as they can. With a UV press, you can run a lot faster.
Okay.
They shouldn't feel threatened by what they're doing.
Mike, let me throw this question out at you. What pitfalls can you advise other printers to avoid who may be looking into UV offset printing for the first time? We were talking as a panel right before we went live, and about half our audience have some exposure to UV offset printing, and about another half are not involved in that marketplace at all. So for those people that may be looking to get into it for the first time, what advice could you give them, Mike?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of the challenge will come from compatibility between your consumables, you know, ink, rollers, blankets, and your wash, your solutions, and it's I think at the beginning it may be easy for a novice to get frustrated too easily, but it is a learning process, and you know you will need to try different things. Different shops have different vendors, and you need to find the right combination of supplies that will work well together. So as you go through this process. Need to remember not to get discouraged too easily, And you also need to be committed in terms of, you know, be prepared to know that you, you know, in addition to time, you know, you will need to, you know, set aside, you know, materials, do trial runs, R&Ds, and to help you figure out what will work. But once you figure it out, then believe it or not, it becomes routine. UV printing is very different from conventional printing, but I'm amazed that, you know, when I think, you know, think about how we started and where we are now, you know, I say to myself, but what's all the fuss about? Because at the beginning, it was scary. It was very challenging. But once you get over that initial hump, it really does feel routine, even though you learn new things on a regular basis. But it's routine. It really does become routine. And our press operator are able to go back and forth from a UV press to a conventional press without any difficulty at all.
You know, if I can chime in,
Scott,
that as
you
well,
want
Mark.
To add to that?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, pitfalls, you know, like I said before, I really think you need to rely on your vendors and really get their support and training. You know, as Mike was just saying, you know, early on, it's like we wondered, you know, what are we doing here? And then, you know, years into it, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, you know, when I had operators calling me up saying, hey, can I just keep this job running UV? Because, you know, we used to go back and forth all the time. But when they started asking me, can I just run this job UV? You know, then I kind of knew we were kind of getting over that hump of, you know, things are going, you know, better. And like Mike was saying, it really just is just another process for us now. And we obviously with any process, whether it's UV or conventional, you should be learning something every day anyway. And now it's just continually making it better. But along those same lines of vendors, I really think you can't be afraid to make those hard decisions to make a change. I mean, you do. There's a lot of materials out there. From experience, I can say some run much better than others. And finding that right combination and doing some of that testing and R&D is just absolutely vital to success.
Okay. You guys, on the training side, you mentioned about, you know, going to the manufacturers. Warren, I think you and Scott have both been regular attendees at the Print UV conference. Any other areas of where you can turn to get some training? Did you guys have, for example, did you guys have press operators in your shops already that had experience running UV presses so they were able to kind of help lead the charge?
For us at Pizzazz, we had nobody pretty – we didn't – I can't speak English today. We didn't have anyone in the place who was familiar with UV. For the starting of the training, our press is a 56-inch KBA, and the people at KBA were outstanding in their training of our people. They are, you know, I'll speak from my experience, but KBA happened to be UV specialists. And by welcoming them to our shop, making them feel comfortable, making the pressmen feel at ease, they spent 5 or 6 weeks with them, and it was a really good introduction. After that, the best thing to do is to go out and find the people in our industry who are accredited, recommended, and bring them in. It's really the only way to learn with spending the least amount of money. We've spent, I'm going to throw a number out, we spent a good couple hundred grand easily learning about printing substrates. One of the first jobs we printed was a few hundred thousand sheets of plastic, 33 by 44, very little ink on it. I thought slam dunk, quoted the job. Press runs 15,000 sheets an hour. Guess what? My first job, I learned plastic, 6,000 sheets an hour. So there's really, really a lot to learn, and you need to find the right people.
Scott or Mike, anything to add to that?
So at Premier, we didn't have anyone with prior UV experience, but we had a couple of guys that really were, you know, took the lead and embraced the technology and really drove the, you know, drove it into our shop and worked really well with the other crews, training, communication, you know, to make sure everyone's on board doing things the same way.
Okay. Mike,
I like, It's very important during your learning process that you document what you discover, because there are so many different variables that can be tried, and unless you write it down, you're not going to remember. And all of these trials, you know, you're spending time, spending money, you're paying tuition, you're really paying tuition, and if you don't remember what you've learned, and not, you know, you're 6 months later, when a new job comes in and it's got some special requirement, you know, if you're able to recall the knowledge that you had gained, you know, some months back and avoid certain mistakes, you know, then you know, you're starting to receive your payback. So very important that you keep, good notes and just record, you know, every little bits of knowledge that you encounter along the way.
Mm-hmm. I second that. I think you have to have a book at the press. You have multiple press crews working, and there's no way that everyone's going to remember everything.
Right. Well, I'm sure you guys have all, run into problems trying to print a UV job. When you've encountered that, have you found that the press manufacturer is kind of pointing the finger at the consumables providers and, vice versa, and, nobody's kind of stepping up to try to help you resolve your problem? How do you, A, have you encountered those types of problems, and B, how did you work the problem out? Anybody want to tackle that one first?
Sure. What we did when we started with the UV press, and we brought in different suppliers that we were testing to see who could accommodate us, who had the knowledge. Once we found our team of suppliers, from the blanket guys to the plate to the ink, etc., when we were doing different things, we would call them all in. We would call them all in before we started certain projects that we'd never run before, and we would get their, their expertise in working together. We didn't really allow for anyone to be able to point the finger at anybody. By bringing everybody in prior to certain projects, you get everybody working together, and your suppliers don't want to mess up together because they want to be there, to benefit from the time and energy that they're putting in to helping you learn. So if you do it up front, you have minimal problem.
Yeah, I second that. This is Scott from Premier again, and, meeting up front, having those pre-production meetings, getting everyone on the same page. Nobody, all of the suppliers, it's at their best interest that we succeed. And my experience has been, the more you rely on them, the more they want to help you. So that's been nothing but positive from that standpoint.
Right. Okay. Let's segue a little bit into just some of the advantages of UV. Many people claim you can get better print quality, better ink holdout, especially for uncoated stocks, and you can print a much sharper dot. Are you guys finding that to be the case with your UV output?
Absolutely.
Yes and yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is Scott again, so I'll tackle that a little bit. So, advantages. So, one, obviously, it's a no-brainer with uncoated stocks. Your printing quality is, far above conventional ink. But for us, now that, especially with our Perfector press, I mentioned before we do a fair amount of catalog work. I've got forms coming off the press going right to my folder immediately, no delay time. So my WIP, the work I have to keep in the staging area is reduced. There's no scuffing. I mean, it's just, my time and my production advantages are far outweighs, some of the trick stuff is great, diamond coat, our strike throughs and, special effect coatings, and those are all great, but just really the everyday efficiencies of running UV is, is wonderful.
Mike Tai here. I think I can contribute to what Scott has just said as well. There are certain materials that really cannot be printed at all unless you have UV. You can try to use high solids conventional ink, but still, unless you have a way of preventing your load or your stack from not shifting at all, even with high solid ink, you know, before the ink has hardened, the most minute load shift will cause these hairline scratches to show up on certain substrates. Prior to installation of UV on our printing press, we attempted to run a 50,000 impression run on foil laminated SBS board. And at the end of the run, we realized we had made giant Lego blocks, because even though we use high solid ink and we applied a lot of powder, all the sheets stuck together. The ink effectively became glue that bonded one sheet to the other. Now we print foil stock at least once a week with UV ink, and it's routine, as I said earlier. So in addition to the benefit from, you know, having a more tackier ink, giving you sharper dot, we must remember that certain substrates really should not be printed using conventional ink at all.
All right, let's segue a little bit to the environmental benefits of UV. Are you guys all using no VOC inks in your press room?
Yes.
UV inks are VOC free.
Yeah. Okay. How about issues with, are you seeing improvements with ink and water balance and thus less chemistry waste?
I think we're seeing less waste all around. We're using less sheets on the make ready. We're using less ink on the jobs themselves. Somebody, Mike had mentioned the powder before. Could you imagine your press room with no powder? What a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
No mess on anything. And I think, and even from a selling perspective, we push the environmental aspect of the UV printing.
Yeah. Same here. At Premier, we do the same thing. It's very much a focus to, we're SGP certified, and that the UV fits really well into that whole, business model.
How about the energy consumption of a UV press versus a conventional press? Are you seeing savings there?
No, there's definitely a cost to running a UV press. Your power consumption will depend on what you're running. If you're running all your lamps, if you're running a perfector with all your lamps on, we don't run, we're depending on the job we're running. Conventional paper, we're running the lamps on very little, enough to give a flash dry. Some of the plastics, we might have more lamps on. But really, at the end of the day, I think, and I look at it this way, when I'm running conventional materials that cannot be run in a conventional press, need to be run on a UV press, my rate is my rate, and the cost is the cost, and the consumer, customer need what they need. Biggest benefit with the UV for me is that of the few people that are doing it, we're not beating each other up on the price. So I don't even like to talk about the price of the job, because the price of the job is the price of the job. And that's part of the differentiation of running conventional and competing at a conventional level.
What about the maintenance requirements and safety precautions when it comes to UV printing? Mike, do you want to try to tackle that one?
Yes. Maintenance, being diligent on your preventive maintenance is very important, because of one problem that we encounter on a fairly regular basis is the lamps not receiving enough cooling water circulation. And so it's very important that you stay on top of maintenance and making sure that your circulation is circulation line is not clogged. When we first installed our system, we used just regular tap water in the tank that holds the cooling water, and then being in Southern California, where the water quality is very unstable, you know, our water is very hard down here. So within a couple of months, you know, we started to see these mineral buildup clogging up the lines, and if there's not enough cooling water entering into your UV modules, the system will shut down. It's a built-in safety precaution, and every time it shuts down, you know, you're losing production, you got to warm the lamps back up again. So, you know, that's just one example. I mean, certainly there's a lot of other preventive maintenance, you know, issues that one must pay attention to, you know, keeping the reflectors clean, cleaning a reflector with alcohol. So, yes, diligence is very important. You know, you spend, several hundred thousand dollars investing in a UV system. You want it to be up and running. You don't want your press to have to go down because of little hiccups here and there. As far as the safety side, there's one specific experience I can share with you, and that relates to keeping the bottom of your press clean. I know this is one area a lot of printers probably ignore, but over time a lot of debris will accumulate at the bottom of your press. You may get paper lint buildup. You know, you get oil leaking out of your gearbox. You cannot prevent that. Oil will just seep out over time. You must make sure you clean the bottom of your press on a regular basis, because when you're working with UV, there's a lot of heat that is produced as a byproduct. The temperature we're talking about is very high. And having all that debris on the bottom of your press, it means that, you know, these material can combust spontaneously. And speaking from experience, because that's what happened on our press last year, it actually caught on fire. And at the end, we found out that, you know, it was the debris that was burning. So that's one thing that you must be very careful about, because you could literally burn down your whole shop due to something as seemingly harmless as debris at the bottom of your press.
Scott, or one, any?
Yeah, for maintenance, basically, IKBA is the closest thing to a Lamborghini that I'm ever going to own. Well, hopefully not, but. So it's every Monday. We do about 8 hours of maintenance, or every shift does a few hours. Every crew is responsible for two heads, and they split up the other duties. You need to take care of this press. If you take care of it, the effort that you put in terms of maintenance will come back to you in longevity of the press and the minimization of errors and things that can go wrong when running.
Yeah, I would second that. I mean, maintenance is key. I mean, UV is no different than the press. I mean, it's equipment that's, things are going to wear, and things have to be maintained. So I mean, you've got to keep up with those things, and you do that training from the manufacturer of what's recommended, and you set up those systems, and you enforce those and make sure it's happening, and things will serve you well. You know, from a safety standpoint, I think it's, there's a bit of a misnomer, I believe, that UV and coatings and stuff are all dangerous to work with, and it's just about being safe and being cautious when you handle them. I mean, having the right PPE gear for the guys, and shields and gloves and that kind of stuff, is making sure that if you do get something on your skin, you wash, and there's some basic 101 stuff that, from a safety standpoint, that it's important that guys embrace that and do that.
I'd like to just add in on the maintenance side. When you take care of your press from the beginning, and you have your first year or two of maintenance warranty or whatever it is, when the manufacturer comes in and sees that your machine is perfectly clean and well lubed and taken care of, you will have less trouble with them in trying to get them to do certain things, because you will have done it right, and they will have no room to say otherwise.
Okay. Let's segue a little bit to some of the
productivity and workflow benefits that UV provides. I think, Warren, I think you might have mentioned about how the sheets are bindery ready. You know, what are some of the other advantages of the UV process in terms of how it affects your plant operations and just your overall workflow and productivity?
Well, I think make readies are quicker. We achieve our color fairly quickly. Dot gain is not an issue. I remember when water base became a big thing. We all went out and sold it as quick turnaround. UV doesn't even compare to that. UV literally is off your press, and you could trim and fold, no issue. When you're running full UV and it's a flood coat, what you could do in line doesn't compare to when you're competing with a guy who goes out and has to go offline to do it. The time that it takes to go offline versus the inline, all kinds of little standalone things that benefit. A customer comes in, if you do a lot of agency work and customers like to press proof, how amazing is it when they come in to press proof a full UV coat or strike through or reticulation and they're seeing their finished piece on the table as opposed to conventional, then going off for UV, then having an issue fading or something. What you see is what you get. No problems after.
Okay. Anybody else want to chime in on that?
Well, at K1 Packaging Group, we produce quite a bit for the processed food industry, and almost, I would say, half of it requires UV coating to be applied. We used to apply the coating offline after installation of the UV system. It's a single pass process now. So definitely a very significant productivity gain. We do a lot of high volume runs. Some runs are so large, we would be printing the press, die cutting, folding, gluing simultaneously. So the printing press would be running, or die cutter would be running, the folder gluer would be running. And that's only possible with the UV press.
Okay.
I would second that from Premier. I mean, the ability to come right off of our press, right into a folder, right into a cutter, into a die cutter, all that, not having to wait those hours for dry time in between those processes and it's huge advantages from a productivity standpoint.
Okay. Let's move a little bit into the sales and the marketing side of your UV capabilities. I know, Warren, you mentioned the environmental benefits. I think you also referred to, price becomes less of a sticking point versus, competing against somebody that may be trying to do a job on a conventional press. We do have some print sales people that are listening in, and some of them have been commenting that they'd like to hear a little input about, how do you sell the UV capabilities and how do you market it to customers and prospects?
Well, it's really easy. Number one, you need to get out, you need to get your own creative stuff done, and you need to print like crazy. You need to set up your sales reps with all kinds of printed material, different substrates, different techniques, and it's all part of your R&D. So while you're doing the R&D, you keep it in mind. You write how the jobs are done. You put it in the piece. The people are then able to go out and knock on all these different doors and say, hey, I just want to show you what we did. And when you keep doing that, people get it, people see it, people like it. People might ask the other competition. They say, we can't do it. All of a sudden, you become a one-of-a-kind. But if you do not put your money where your mouth is and show them what you can do, there is no benefit. And we found by doing that and putting stuff out there, printing 300-line screen on offset paper with some wicked images, engaging some designers to come in and go crazy, and you know, they end up with free samples and they do the creative for you. You then get your suppliers to come in and you're doing the reticulation and you're getting the ink guys to help you and the coating guys to help you. And everyone will do that because when it starts to take off, everyone will benefit. But if you don't, you know, one of the biggest problems in our industry is conventional or UV. We as the printer, we don't market ourselves.
All right. Mike or Scott, anything on the sales or marketing side of the process?
Well, I think when you really embrace what you can do with UV and you get creative with it, I think you'll be surprised at how many different types of products you can offer, how many specialty things you can do with UV that you just can't do with conventional inks. And that's where, you know, what Warren's point of you know, showing those samples and getting them out to your customers and embracing that, and, you know, you just open up a lot of worlds of opportunity that, you know, that your competitor down the street won't be able to touch.
There are some new technologies with the UV offset technology itself. There's, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the HUV development that one of the vendors or one of the ink manufacturers has come out with. Have you been tracking kind of what's new coming down the pike and in terms of UV offset technology?
So at Premier, we obviously, yeah, we very much so have had our eye on that. In fact, we've actually, I would say that we're the first North American print shop to actually run a production job with LED. So we've done some beta work with AirMotion with just a portable module on our press and have actually run some production work with LED. And I think if LED had been around a couple of years ago when I put in our Perfector press, there's a good chance I would have that kind of technology on my press. So yeah, there's, you know, I think those technologies have a lot to offer, and you know, that some of the benefits of, like with LED is, you know, the heat's not an issue no more. You got the instant on, instant off of the lamps. So I would suggest anyone that's considering getting into the UV market to do the due diligence and do some print test and, you know, talk to suppliers out there and you know, really look hard at both HUV and with LED.
Right. Scott, that answered kind of one of the questions that came in. Somebody wanted the panel to address the older hot arc UV lamp style versus the new LED versions, which I think you addressed a little bit. Mike or Warren, do you have anything you'd want to add to that?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay. Way before my time.
Okay. All right, we are kind of running out of time, so what I'd like to do in our final remaining time is just throw out some of the questions that have come in during the webinar. You guys can, you know, pick and choose who addresses this. You can chime in. They kind of jump around a little bit, so but let me just throw a few of them out there. One of our listeners wanted to know if you're doing any inline UV coating on top of conventional inks.
I'll take that one. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, back in the early days, I think people had double coated presses. They really, that was kind of the intention there, was to do, you know, a primer coating and then UV on top. But there's too much dryback that happens with conventional ink. If that ink's not completely cured, you really can't do a UV coating on top and get it, you know, quality coat job.
I can add to that as well. Even if you run UV ink and do inline UV coating on top of UV ink, if your UV ink is not adequately cured, your UV coating will also get absorbed, and you would end up losing your gloss effect completely. So the ink, whether it's UV or conventional, has to be completely cured before you can coat it in line.
Mike, I think this question came more addressed to you because you mentioned about the fire with your press. One of the listeners said, what about investing in CO2 under the press for fire suppression? Are you familiar with that?
I'm familiar with the fire suppression system. We invested quite a bit of money putting in a water-free fire suppression system in our IT closet just last year, but I've never actually thought of putting one under the press. It never occurred to me, but it's an interesting thought. Go ahead, please.
I'm sorry, this is Scott. I think personally it really boils back to what we're talking about with maintenance, right? You just have to do that maintenance. It'd be a false sense of security if you had a suppression system that maybe we don't have to do that maintenance.
That's a very good point.
Right. Mike, this one was also addressed toward you. Does K1 do any cold or hot foil stamping as part of your operation?
Yes, we do hot foil stamping. Cold foil is a process that I'm sure all of us have entertained. I believe cold foil technology works, and I think it works well, but I think for most companies, really the decision comes down to economics. Can you make money from this technology? I think that's the most important question to ask. I believe the technology works, but in the end, you know, everything is money-driven. You have to be able to make money from it.
Okay. This one came in from Greg, and he wanted to know, what test do you use to determine over and under cure, and what device do you use to measure lamp performance? Anybody want to try to handle that question?
Warren here. I would just say it's a lot of trial and error and experience.
Okay. Scott?
There's some testing you can do. There's some strips you can put on the edge of your sheets to run them through and to see if your lamps are performing correctly and get – you know, energy measurement. There's some other tests you can do from an ink adhesion standpoint, but you know, kind of second what Warren's saying, there's an awful lot of R&D and learning on the fly there.
I can add to that as well. You know, it's sometimes it's get easy to be distracted by, you know, measurement devices and, you know, gadgets. As far as curing, you know, if you... The simplest thing to do is, you know, with your palm, you know, apply gentle pressure to the sheet. You know, usually if it feels a little bit sticky, maybe it's undercured. Another thing to remember is that curing and adhesion are they're separate and independent things. So just because your ink is cured, it doesn't mean that it's properly adhering to the substrate. So, you know, what would cause, you know, an ink to cure but not adhere to the substrate, well, you know, that's really for you to find out. You know, different ink manufacturers have different formulations and, you know, different substrate have different properties. So trial and error and documentation.
Okay. One of our listeners, Jeff, wanted to know if you guys are using 100% UV inks or hybrid type inks in your plants.
So we're full UV.
We're full UV at K1 as well.
We're full UV at Pizzazz.
Okay.
I have had experience with hybrid as a transitioning process, but these days I don't think hybrid ink provides that much value simply because all of the accompanying material, your rollers, blankets, your fountain solutions, they all work much better now. So I don't think hybrid has as important of a place today as it did in the past.
Okay. Another ink-related question from Pam. She wanted to know if UV ink affects your customer's price, and if so, did customers see the value, and did it make any kind of a difference to them?
Well, right off the bat, there is an increase in price because the ink is more expensive, but there's another increase in price because the press is more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So the value to the customer, again, goes back to doing your own marketing stuff and showing them and getting them excited and wanting to do it. If the customer is only about price, don't waste your time. My opinion.
Scott or Mike,
Yeah, I'm not sure there's much more to add to that personally.
Okay. This question was for Scott, where you mentioned about strike-through a good bit. Have you run into current curing issues with heavy ink coverage artwork that resulted in scuffing?
Yes, we have. And the strike-through, so there's two types of strike-through that I'm most familiar with. One's a very smooth, dull, you know, where the dull area comes out very smooth and there's more of a little bit of a reticulation. The smooth process, the varnish is a little bit more of a conventional property, so there's a little bit of post-cure that's happening in that drying process. But it's absolutely positively key that you start, you know, with your SIP3 data and you're getting your ink key profiles and you make sure you're not putting too much varnish down. And there's some, you know, like Mike was talking about with testing equipment, there's some, you know, some rub tests that we just do with our hands running across the sheet to check how much varnish we're getting on there. If you get too much varnish, there's a very good chance you'll get the scuffing or, you know, bad jogging in the delivery. I think the second part of that question I'd like to address that talks about, do you find the process traps better with strike-through traps better than using a UV plate? And absolutely 100% yes. I mean, with a strike-through, you're using a litho plate to get your registration. With a Cyrel-type plate or, you know, a coating plate, you're relying on like a rubber stamp that you're trying to register to you know, printing. So 100% yes on that.
Okay. Well, you know, we do have more questions, but unfortunately we've run out of time for today. I think our panel has done a great job and really appreciate your input. On behalf of Printing Impressions and our sponsor Trelleborg, I want to thank everyone for attending today's webinar. And be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all our archived and upcoming webinars. Again, to Mike, Warren, and Scott, I really appreciate your input. And for those of you that stuck with us for this webinar, we hope we found it valuable. Again, thank you very much.